lives. Few places are completely safe anymore, including your own home. But God has says that even though, quote, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, end of quote. Psalm 37, 32, and 33. He promises that he will be, quote, a shield to those who put their trust in him, end of quote, Proverbs 30:5. He can even be a shield to someone we pray about because of our faith. I have always prayed for my husband and children to be safe while traveling in cars, but one morning I got a call from Michael shortly after he left the house to take our young son to school. We've just had an accident, he said, but Christopher and I are fine. I drove immediately to where they were, thanking God all the way for protecting them, just as I had prayed for years. When I arrived and saw the condition of the car, I completely fell apart. Michael's little sports car, which I was never thrilled about his driving, had been broadsided by a much larger car and pushed into a concrete barrier at the side of the road. There was so much destruction to that little car that it was later considered a total loss by the insurance company. The only way to explain why neither of them were hurt had to be the protecting hand of God. They did have bruises on their chests and shoulders from the seat belts, but they could have been injured far worse or even killed. I firmly believe that the Lord answered my prayers for protection on my family. I'm still waiting for him to answer the ones about my husband not buying any more sports cars. My prayer group and I regularly pray for our husbands to be safe in planes, cars, the workplace, or walking down the street. We don't even have to think of all the specific dangers. We just ask the Lord to protect them from harm. God promises to, quote, give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. End of quote, Psalm 91, 11 and 12. But accidents do happen, even to godly people, and when they do, they are sudden and unexpected. That's why prayer for your husband's protection needs to be frequent and ongoing. You never know when it might be needed in the battlefield. And if something happens, you'll have the comfort of knowing you've invited God's presence and power into the midst of it. Prayer. Lord, I pray that you would protect my husband from any accidents, diseases, dangers, or evil influences. Keep him safe, especially in cars and planes. Hide him from violence and the plans of evil people. Wherever he walks, secure his steps. Keep him on your path so that his feet don't slip. If his foot does slip, hold him up by your mercy. Give him the wisdom and discretion that will help him walk safely and not fall into danger. Be his fortress, strength, shield, and stronghold. Make him to dwell in the shadow of your wings. Be his rock, salvation, and defense, so that he will not be moved or shaken. I pray that even though bad things may be happening all around him, they will not come near him. Save him from any plans of the enemy that seek to destroy his life. Preserve his going out and his coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Power tools. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Psalm 27, 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Psalm 18:2-3. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 17:7-8. Chapter 13. His Trials. Everyone goes through hard times. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Sometimes our prayers help us to avoid them, sometimes not. It's the attitude we have when we go through them that matters most. If we are filled with anger and bitterness or insist on complaining and blaming God, things tend to turn out badly. If we go through them with thankfulness and praise to God, He promises to bring good things despite them. He says to, quote, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," end of quote, James 1:2-3. A wife's prayers for her husband during these times may not change some of the things he must go through. After all, if we never suffered anything, what kind of shallow, compassionless, impatient people would we be? But prayer can help him maintain a positive outlook of gratitude, of hope, patience, and peace in the midst of it, and keep him from reaping the penalty of a wrong response. My friend Jan watched her husband Dave hover near death as a result of being bitten by a poisonous spider. It was a terrifying time for both of them, and the trial lasted for well over a year as he struggled to rise above each new physical problem that happened as a result. On top of that, they had just moved to a new state away from family, friends, and church, and they suffered financially because of the enormous medical bills. There was every reason to be angry and bitter. But they never allowed themselves to stop praying, praising God, and looking to Him as their source. Through countless tears and fears of her own, Jan fervently prayed that Dave would not get discouraged in the battle, but be able to stand strong through it. God sustained them. Dave did recover, and they became two of the richest people in the Lord one could ever hope to meet. Not only that, but their three children are all strong believers who use their enormous talents to glorify God. Dave became a music pastor at a church where he and Jan had a highly successful ministry. Their lives have been a testimony to the goodness of the Lord, and I believe that the manner in which they went through this trial had a lot to do with all that. Whether it feels like it or not, when we serve God, His love attends every moment of our lives, even the toughest, loneliest, most painful, and desperate. He is always there in our midst, working things out for good when we pray and look to Him to do so. Quote, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose," end of quote, Romans 8:28. His purpose for our trials is often to bring us humbly before Him, to experience a breaking in our inner, independent, self-sufficient selves, and grow us up into compassionate, patient, spiritually strong, God-glorifying people. He uses these situations to teach us how to trust that He loves and cares for us enough to get us through the tough times. I can't think of any trial that my husband or I have gone through that didn't grow us deeper in the things of God, even though it was miserable to endure at the time, and we had little appreciation of where we were headed. But as we prayed through every rough spot, we found our faith growing and our walk with God deepening. And when our attitudes were right, so did our love for one another. If your husband is going through a difficult time, carry it in prayer. But don't carry the burden. Even though you may want to, don't try to take away his load and make it yours. That will ultimately leave him feeling weak or like a failure. Besides, God doesn't want you doing his work. He doesn't want you trying to be the Holy Spirit to your husband. Even though it hurts to see him struggle and you want to fix it, you can't. You can pray, encourage, and support. But God uses trials for his purpose, and you must stay out of his way. If your husband feels crushed under the weight of such things as financial strain, illness, disability, loss of work, problems with the children, marital strife, catastrophes, disasters in the home, or strained relationships, invite the Holy Spirit to move into his circumstances and transform them. Remind your husband of the bigger picture. Our suffering will seem like nothing compared to the glory of God worked in us if we have the right reactions in the midst of the struggle. Quote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." End of quote. Romans 8:18. Encourage him to say, quote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." End of quote. Philippians 4:13. Pray that your husband will be able to press in closer to God until he knows that nothing can separate him from his love, not what he is going through now and not what will happen in the future. Quote, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." End of quote. Romans 8:38-39. If nothing can separate him from the love of God, then no matter how bad it gets, he always has hope. Trials can be a purifying fire and a cleansing water. You don't want your husband to get burned or drowned. You want him to get refined and renewed. God has promised that, quote, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." End of quote. Romans 8:37. Quote, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." End of quote. Matthew 24:13. It is the determination of your husband to stand strong in faith and wait for God to answer his prayers that will save him from the heat and keep him afloat. Prayer. Lord, you alone know the depth of the burden my husband carries. I may understand the specifics, but you have measured the weight of it on his shoulders. I've not come to minimize what you are doing in his life, for I know you work great things in the midst of trials. Nor am I trying to protect him from what he must face. I only want to support him so that he will get through this battle as the winner. God, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You have invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I come before your throne and ask for grace for my husband. Strengthen his heart for this battle and give him patience to wait on you. Build him up so that no matter what happens, he will be able to stand strong through it. Help him to be always rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Give him endurance to run the race and not give up, for you have said that a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Help him to remember that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I pray he will look to you to be his refuge until these calamities have passed by. May he learn to wait on you, because those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I pray that he will find his strength in you. And as he cries out to you, you will hear him and save him out of all his troubles. In Jesus' name I pray. Power tools. You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Psalm 55:16-18. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Psalm 71:20-21. Chapter 14. His Integrity. Integrity is not what you appear to be when all eyes are on you. It's who you are when no one is looking. It's a level of morality below which you never fall, no matter what's happening around you. It's a high standard of honesty, truthfulness, decency, and honor that is never breached. It's doing for others the way you would want them to do for you. A man of integrity says something and means it. He doesn't play verbal games, so you never really know where he stands. He knows to let his yes be yes and his no be no. Quote, "For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." End of quote, Matthew 5:37. He will not play both sides of the fence to please everyone. His goal is to please God and do what's right. A man can be highly esteemed among men, but an abomination to God. Luke 16:15. A man of integrity, quote, "swears to his own hurt and does not change." End of quote. Psalm 15:4. He will keep his word even if it costs him something to do so. When placed in a possibly compromising situation, he will continue to stand strong in what he believes. Above all, he is a man of truth. You can depend on his solid honesty. A man, quote, "who walks with integrity, walks securely." End of quote. Proverbs 10:9. Because his integrity guides him and brings him into the presence of God. Psalm 41:12. My husband is a man of integrity who has had to take a stand a number of times against things he believed were wrong. It often cost him a great deal. I've always prayed for him to do the right thing, but not because he wouldn't have done it without me. He surely would have. However, my prayers supported him as he faced opposition and helped him to stand strong through it. The Bible says, quote, The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. End of quote. Proverbs 20:7. Whether my children fully recognize it or not, they will receive a heritage from their father's adherence to principles of high moral integrity. There are blessings they will enjoy because of the kind of man he is. I pray that they will pass those on to their children. Integrity happens in the heart. Therefore, being a man of integrity is something your husband must choose to do on his own. But you can prayerfully help him fight the enemy that seeks to snare him, blind him, and keep him from making that decision. Even when he makes the right choice, there will be a negative reaction to it in the realm of evil. Your prayers can help shield him from anything that causes him to doubt and waver, and give him strength to do what's right, even when no one's looking. Prayer. Lord, I pray that you would make my husband a man of integrity, according to your standards. Give him strength to say yes when he should say yes, and courage to say no when he should say no. Enable him to stand for what he knows is right and not waver under pressure from the world. Don't let him be a man who is always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Give him instead a teachable spirit that is willing to listen to the voice of wisdom and grow in your ways. Make him a man who lives by truth. Help him to walk with your spirit of truth at all times. Be with him to bear witness to the truth, so that in times of pressure he will act on it with confidence. Where he has erred in this and other matters, give him a heart that is quick to confess his mistakes. For you have said in your word, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let him be deceived. Don't let him live a lie in any way. Bind mercy and truth around his neck and write them on the tablet of his heart, so he will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. In Jesus' name I pray. Power tools. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs 28:6. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Proverbs 11:3. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Psalm 7:8. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Psalm 26:1. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Psalm 25:21. Chapter 15. His reputation. A good reputation is a fragile thing, especially in this day of rapid communication and mass media. Just being in the wrong place at the wrong time can ruin a person's life. A reputation is not something to be taken lightly. A good name is to be chosen over great riches and is better than precious ointment. It's something to value and protect. A person who doesn't value his reputation may someday desire credibility and not find it. Our reputations can be ruined by the wrong things we do, by the people with whom we are associated, and by disparaging words spoken about us. In all three cases, evil is involved. One unfortunate court case, a significant round of gossip, an evil influence, an unflattering newspaper article, or 15 minutes of notoriety can destroy everything a man has worked for all his life. Prayer is our only defense. The times my husband was most concerned about his reputation was when he or someone else had been misquoted in a newspaper article as saying something that wasn't true. Because we knew how damaging these kinds of things can be, we always called people we thought would be most affected by any misquote and told them what the truth was. Of course, we couldn't possibly call everyone, so we prayed that those we did call would be enough and that God would put an end to it. As it turned out, what could have been wildfires totally burned themselves out within a day or two. It could easily have gone the other way and consumed us. I am certain it was the power of God in response to prayer that kept us protected. A virtuous wife, the Bible says, has a husband who is respected. He is, quote, known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, end of quote, Proverbs 31:23. Does that just happen? Is every virtuous wife guaranteed a husband with a good reputation? Or does she have something to do with that? It's true that a man gets a certain amount of respect for having a good wife, but I believe one of the good things she does is pray for him and his reputation. Prayer for your husband's reputation should be an ongoing process. However, keep in mind that he has a free will. If he is not sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, he may still choose to go his own way and get into trouble. If something like that happens, or has already happened to tarnish his reputation, pray for God to redeem the situation and bring good out of it. He can do that too. Prayer. Lord, I pray that my husband will have a reputation that is untarnished. I know that a man is often valued by what others say of him, so I pray that he will be respected in our town, and people will speak highly of him. You've said in your word that a curse without cause shall not alight. I pray that there would never be any reason for bad things to be said about him. Keep him out of legal entanglements. Protect us from lawsuits and criminal proceedings. Deliver him from his enemies. O God, defend him from those who rise up to do harm. Fight against those who fight against him. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. Let us never be put to shame. If you are for us, who can be against us? Your word says that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I pray that my husband will bear good fruit out of the goodness that is within him, and that he will be known by the good things that he does. May the fruit of honesty, trustworthiness, and humility sweeten all his dealings so that his reputation will never be spoiled. Preserve his life from the enemy. Hide him from the secret counsel of the wicked. Pull him out of any net which has been laid for him. Keep him safe from the evil of gossiping mouths. Where there has been ill spoken of him, touch the lips of those who spoke it with your refining fire. Let the responsibility of those involved be revealed. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion who seek to destroy his life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish him evil. May he trust in you and not be afraid of what man can do to him. For you have said, whoever believes in you will not be put to shame. Lead him, guide him, and be his mighty fortress and hiding place. May his light so shine before men that they see his good works and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Power tools. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. Psalm 64, 2 and 3. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Psalm 31, 17 and 18. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame, and your reputation be ruined. Proverbs 25, 8 through 10. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Romans 8, 33 and 34. Chapter 16. His priorities. Men have many different ideas about what their priorities should be, but every wife feels she should be at the top of her husband's list, right there under God. I've found, however, that if a wife wants her husband's priorities to be in that kind of order, she has to make sure hers are in that kind of order as well. In other words, if you want your husband to place you as a priority over work, children, friends, and activities, you need to do the same for him. If God and spouse aren't clearly top priorities in your life, your husband will have less incentive to make them so in his. I know very well about the struggle to keep a right order of priorities, especially if there are little ones in the picture. Children's needs are immediate and urgent, and you're the one to take care of them. A husband, after all, is an adult and hopefully can take care of himself. Even if there are no children, it's possible to be consumed by work, home, friends, projects, interests, and activities. It's hard in the midst of everything that occupies your time and attention not to allow your husband to fall down on the list, or at least feel as though he has. Fortunately, priorities don't always have to do with the total amount of time spent on them. Otherwise, anyone with a 40-hour work week would be putting God second to their job, unless he or she was praying at least 8 hours a day. And there is no way a wife can give as much time to her husband as she does to a young child without neglecting the child. When it comes to your husband, it's not so much a matter of how much time you take, but that you do take time to make him feel like he is a priority. Just greeting him first thing in the morning with a smile and a hug can make him feel he's important to you. So is asking him, is there anything you want me to do for you today? And then, when he tells you, remember to do it. Also, let him know you are praying for him and ask what he specifically wants you to pray about. Even checking in with him periodically in the midst of the many other things you're doing assures him he's still at the top of your list. Priorities have to do with the position in the heart. Planning times for just the two of you, perhaps a date, a night or two away, a dinner alone, time in the home without any children or friends, communicates to him that he is a priority in your heart. If you want your husband to love you more, you need to love him more. It always works, especially if you're praying about it as well. If you feel that you just don't have the time and energy to put your husband first and still do all that's expected of you, ask God for a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. Seek him first, and he will help you get your priorities in order. If your schedule doesn't allow time to be with God and draw on his strength, Then rework your priorities and make a new schedule. The old one is not working. In the business my husband's in, we often see people experience success quickly. The problem with that is a spirit of lust for more success, more power, and more wealth usually comes along with it. When these people don't make a special effort to keep their priorities in order, their pride guides them and they buy into its lure. They slip into overdrive, leaving God, family, church, and friends in their dust. When these shooting stars come back to Earth, the landing is often hard. We don't want that to happen, even on a small scale, to our husbands. Pray for your husband to always put God first, you second, and the children third. Then, no matter what else is going on in his life, his priorities will be in order, and there will be greater peace and happiness ahead for both of you. Prayer. God, I proclaim you Lord over my life. Help me to seek you first every day and set my priorities in perfect order. Reveal to me how to properly put my husband before children, work, family, friends, activities, and interests. Show me what I can do right now to demonstrate to him that he has this position in my heart. Mend the times I have caused him to doubt that. Tell me how to prioritize everything so that whatever steals life away or has no lasting purpose will not occupy my time. I pray for my husband's priorities to be in perfect order as well. Be Lord and ruler over his heart. Help him to choose a simplicity of life that will allow him to have time alone with you, Lord, a place to be quiet in your presence every day. Speak to him about making your word, prayer, and praise a priority. Enable him to place me and our children in greater prominence in his heart than career, friends, and activities. I pray he will seek you first and submit his all to you. For when he does, I know the other pieces of his life will fit together perfectly. In Jesus' name I pray. Power tools. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians 2:4. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Matthew 6:24. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Matthew 13:45-46. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Matthew 4:10. Chapter 17, His Relationships. Isolation is not healthy. We all need the influence of good people to keep us on the right path. Every married couple should have at least two strong believing couples with whom they can share encouragement, strength, and the richness of their lives. Being around such people is edifying, enriching, balancing, and fulfilling, and it helps us keep perspective when things seem to grow out of proportion. Having the positive qualities of other people rub off on us is the best thing for a marriage. I remember one time when Michael and I had an argument just before we were to be at another couple's house for dinner. On the drive there, we sat in stiffened silence, and all I could think about was how we could possibly get through the evening gracefully without making the other couple very uncomfortable. When we arrived, the warmth, love, and rich godliness we felt from them infected our thoughts and emotions. Soon we were laughing and talking and having a great time, forgetting about what had previously transpired. What those two people had was not just a let the good times roll party spirit. It was the joy of the Lord, and it wore off on us. We've witnessed the exact same thing happen in reverse. There have been numerous instances when a couple in the midst of marital strife came to our house for dinner and went away with peace in their hearts. One particular couple even called just before they were to arrive, when the dinner was completely ready, to say that they just had a bad argument and couldn't possibly be enjoyable guests. I told them we completely understood, having experienced the same thing ourselves, but that we wanted them to come, even if they sat in silence all night. "Besides, you do need to eat," I said. "If necessary, you can sit at opposite ends of the table." It took some persuading, but they came, and it turned out to be a highly enjoyable evening for all. We even ended up laughing about what transpired earlier, and they left hand in hand. Being good friends with godly people who love the Lord doesn't just happen by chance. We must pray that such people will come into our lives, and then when we find them, we should continue to cover the relationships in prayer. We should also pray the bad influences away. The Bible says we must, quote, not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, end of quote, 2 Corinthians 6:14. This doesn't mean we can never be around anyone who isn't a Christian, but our closest, most influential relationships should be with people who know and love the Lord, or there will be consequences. Quote, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray, end of quote, Proverbs 12:26. That's why it's very important to have a church home where it's possible to meet the kind of people you need. Choose to be around the highest quality of people you can, the ones whose hearts are aimed toward God. Pray also for your husband to have godly male friends, and when he finds them, give him time to be with them without criticism. Those friends will refine him. Quote, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. End of quote, Proverbs 27:17. They will be a good influence. Quote, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. End of quote, Proverbs 27:9. Of course, if it becomes obsessive, pray for balance. After we had children, Michael worked every day and night during the week, and on the weekends, he spent all his spare time on the golf course or at baseball and football games with his friends. There were many bitter arguments about that, but no changes happened until I started praying that God would convict him and turn his heart toward home. God did a much better job than I ever could have. Often men have fewer close friends than women because of the way their time is consumed with establishing their careers. They don't take the necessary steps to develop close friendships like we do. That's where prayer can make a difference. Even if your husband is not a believer, you can still pray for him to have godly friends. A close friend of mine has a husband who doesn't know the Lord, and we have prayed many times for him to have godly friends and be in contact with believers where he works. God has now brought so many strong Christians into his life that we laugh about how the Lord has him surrounded. Pray about all of your husband's relationships. He needs to have good relationships with his parents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, co-workers, and neighbors. Pray that none of his relationships be marred by his inability to forgive. A husband who is tortured with unforgiveness is not a pretty sight. Prayer. Lord, I pray for my husband to have good, godly male friends with whom he can openly share his heart. May they be trustworthy men of wisdom who will speak the truth into his life and not just say what he wants to hear. Give him the discernment to separate himself from anyone who will not be a good influence. Show him the importance of godly friendships and help me encourage him to sustain them. Give us believing married couples with whom we can feel comfortable sharing our lives. I pray for strong, peaceful relationships with each of his family members, neighbors, acquaintances, and co-workers. Today, I specifically pray for his relationship with certain people who concern me. Inspire open communication and mutual acceptance between them. Let there be reconciliation where there has been estrangement. Work peace into anything that needs to be worked out. I pray that in his heart he will honor his father and mother so that he will live long and be blessed in his life. Enable him to be a forgiving person and not carry grudges or hold things in his heart against others. Lord, you said in your word that he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I pray that my husband would never be blinded by the darkness of unforgiveness, but continually walk in the light of forgiveness. May he not judge or show contempt for anyone, but remember that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Enable him to love his enemies, bless those who curse him, do good to those who hate him, and pray for those who spitefully use him and persecute him. I pray that I will be counted as his best friend and that our friendship with one another will continue to grow. Show him what it means to be a true friend and enable him to be one. In Jesus' name I pray. Power Tools. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Hebrews 10:24-25. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23-24. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:7. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Luke 17:3-4. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:34-35. Chapter 18. His Fatherhood. When I asked my husband to share with me his deepest fears, one of the things he mentioned was the fear of not being a good father. I believe it's something men in general tend to fear, he said. We get so caught up in doing what we do in our work that we're afraid we haven't done enough with our children, or we're afraid we haven't done it well enough, or we're missing something. It becomes even more of a problem with teenagers. We fear we can't communicate with them because we'll be perceived as old and irrelevant. I was touched by his perspective and resolved to pray for him to be a good father. I believe my prayers made a difference because I saw him become more patient with our children and less insecure about his own parenting skills. He grew increasingly relaxed and able to enjoy them. He became less guilt-ridden or angry when it was necessary to discipline them, and more able to speak wisdom powerfully into their lives. He now sees that any flaw in our children is not necessarily a reflection of his value as a father. Thoughts of failure and inadequacy are what cause so many fathers to give up, leave, become overbearing from trying too hard, or develop a passive attitude and fade into the background of their children's lives. It can be especially overwhelming to a man who already feels like a failure in other areas. Mothers get overwhelmed with feelings of inadequacy too, but only the most deeply disturbed ever abandon, ignore, or hurt their children. That's because we have the opportunity from the moment of conception to pour so much of ourselves into our children's lives. We carry them in the womb. We nurse and nurture them as newborns. We guide and teach and love them so much that we have a full sense of bonding from the start. Fathers don't have that privilege, and often they feel they are starting on the outside, trying to work their way in. If they are also spending a great amount of time and energy trying to establish their careers, they can easily feel hopelessly removed and ineffectual. Our prayers can help redeem this situation. Have you ever had someone pray for you when you couldn't think straight, and after they prayed, you had complete clarity and vision? I've experienced that countless times. I believe this is what can happen for our husbands when we pray about their parenting. If they are tortured with doubt and burdened by a sense of responsibility, we can minimize these feelings with our prayers. Prayer can help them gain a clear perspective of what it means to be a good father and open the door to Holy Spirit guidance on how to handle the parenting challenges that arise. My husband recalled a specific incident where he knew my prayers for him regarding his fatherhood had made a big difference. It happened when our son Christopher was about 7 and we had caught him in a lie. We knew we had to deal with it, but we wanted a full confession from him along with a repentant heart. Neither was forthcoming at that moment. Michael wanted to teach him a lesson but didn't know what to do, so he asked me to pray. While I was praying, it became very clear to him. As Chris watched, Michael drew a triangle and a picture of Satan, God, and Christopher, one at each of the points. He then described Satan's plan for Chris and God's plan for Chris. He illustrated how lying was a part of Satan's plan that Christopher was going along with. He described in detail the ultimate consequences of going along with Satan's plans, which meant traveling on a spectrum away from God. And it shook Christopher up so badly that he broke down and confessed the lie with a completely repentant heart. Michael said he knew that without that clear picture from God, he would not have been able to get through to his son with the depth he needed to. The best way for a man to be a good father is to get to know his heavenly Father and learn to imitate him. The more time he spends in the Lord's presence, being transformed into his likeness, the better influence he will be when he spends time with his children. He will have a father's heart because he understands the Father's heart. This can be difficult if your husband didn't have a good relationship with his earthly father. The way a man relates to his dad will often affect how he relates to his Father God. If he was abandoned by him, he may fear being abandoned by God. If his father was distant or uncaring, he may see God as distant and uncaring. If he doubted his father's love, he may doubt his heavenly father's love. If he is angry with his father, he may be angry with his Father God as well. Events of the past with regard to his own dad can serve as a barrier that keeps him from truly knowing the Father's love. This will carry over into his relationship with his children. Pray that your husband grows into a greater understanding of his heavenly Father's love and be healed of any misconceptions he has in his heart and mind about it. Where his father has failed him and he has blamed God, ask the Lord to heal that enormous hurt. The Bible says, quote, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness," end of quote, Proverbs 20:20. Unless forgiveness happens in his heart for his dad, he will be in the dark as to how to be the best father for his children. His father doesn't have to be alive in order to right that relationship, because it's what is in his own heart regarding his dad that matters. Pray that he will gain a right attitude toward his earthly father. so nothing will stand in the way of his relationship with his Father God. Men don't always realize how important they are to their children. They sometimes feel they are only there to provide materially for them. But the importance of a father's influence can never be underestimated. How he relates to his children will shape their lives for bad or for good. It will change his life forever, too. For if he fails as a father, he will always carry that sense of failure with him. If he succeeds, there will be no greater measure of success in his life. Prayer. Lord, teach my husband to be a good father. Where it was not modeled to him according to your ways, heal those areas and help him to forgive his dad. Give him revelation of you and a hunger in his heart to really know you as his heavenly father. Draw him close to spend time in your presence so he can become